Leaning Toward Wisdom, episode 4104. It's time we get back.
Oh, I think it's time we get back. December '69, 5 o'clock, don't turn that dial. 1, 2, 3, feel it coming. Little cute with attitude, playing in your living room. Voice that gets your heart a-thumping, singing, oh baby, give me one more chance. Kind of empathy can help set you free, yeah. It's time we get back to the music that moves us like sugar.
His name is Nathan Angelo. Today is going to be a Nathan Angelo intensive day. This is from his 2013 record entitled Out of the Blue. Name of the song? Get Back. Nathan Angelo, 2013 record, Out of the Blue, $9.99 over to iTunes. I would presume anywhere else that digital downloaded music is sold. The name of that track was Get Back, and it serves as the title for today's show, It's Time We Get Back. Now, he sings to the music that moves us, and I initially went with that, but the more I kept thinking about today's episode, I just kept thinking about things other than just music. And even though we are music intensive here inside the Yellow Studio, I decided to not limit it so much to that. Hey, welcome. Speaking of the Yellow Studio, my name is Randy Cantrell, your host here, coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, a chilly Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, at least at the time that I'm hitting the record button. But it's probably chilly anywhere you're at if you are in the heartland of North America, or the East Coast, maybe even the Pacific Northwest. I don't know. I've spent no time in the Pacific Northwest. Does it get cold up there? I'm sure it does. How can it not? Right? I mean, it's close to, well, I don't know. Vancouver's a city I've always wanted to go to. Never been to Vancouver. Don't know what brought that up. Let me tell you what I kind of prompted today's show. I was thinking about music, and I was thinking about just how into it I am. And I was thinking about what's the first record, what's the first song that I really remember. And I'm not talking about a lullaby, and I'm not talking about Happy Birthday. I'm not talking about Mary Had a Little Lamb or anything like that, but popular music. Well, at least it was popular at the time. What would that have been? And I kept thinking about it, And best I can recollect, I Got a Woman by Ray Charles, a record that was released in the mid-50s, in 1954. I Got a Woman. I think that was it. My dad had a couple of Ray Charles records, as I recall. I remember listening to those. And of course, by the time 1960 rolled around, you had Georgia On My Mind. By the time 1961, you had Hit the Road, Jack. And Unchain My Heart, I think that was 1961. And then 1962, and I remember hearing this song a lot, I Can't Stop Loving You. Great song. But Ray Charles, come on. Greatness. You want to get back to the music that moves you. Yeah, boy, there's some stuff. Probably my first recollection of music. I think it's time we get back, and what better time to recollect and what better time to kind of get refocused than at the end of a year. There's nothing magical about it. It's just, okay, we've made another revolution around the sun. And we're going to flip a calendar, and it used to be a big deal, people writing checks. We don't write checks much anymore, though, so we don't have to overcome that problem anymore, going from 2016 to 2017. I have been thinking about, well, a ton of things, as I am wont to do lately, and I realize that music is kind of, has provided these timelines, these mile markers, if you please. So when I was in elementary school, a little kid, this Ray Charles stuff. And then by the time I really kind of got to elementary school, and you're not in charge of music when you're just a kid. Well, we weren't. Today, you probably could be because of smartphone technology and MP3 technology. But when I was a kid, you couldn't. Because the music was either on the stereo system at home, which was probably going to be this console kind of a thing. It wasn't going to be terribly great high fidelity. And it was going to be AM radio. I mean, it wasn't FM radio when I was a kid. It was just AM radio. So the fidelity wasn't great. And you probably were limited in the car, you know, one speaker in the center of the front dash. And you were really at the mercy of the people around you. You were at the mercy of whatever records your family had, whatever station they listened to in the car. Popular music was kind of the thing, you know, typical AM top 40 kind of stuff. So I absolutely grew up with whatever was going to be on the chart. You know, I wasn't subjected to some obscure kind of a thing. Ray Charles certainly was not obscure. It was a great genre, but I remember the Letterman. You remember those guys, the Letterman, they were around. The Supremes. I loved the Supremes. That was really a little bit, I don't know. My awareness of the Supremes seemed to be post the Letterman, the Carpenters. And no matter how you may feel about the Carpenter, I mean, Karen Carpenter, just terrific, terrific. An artist would come along later for me, Amy Mann. Amy Mann was part of Till Tuesday. Sounds an awful lot like Karen Carpenter. I mean, great pipes. And I love her stuff. And I think I own everything Amy Mann has produced. Not the Till Tuesday stuff necessarily, but her solo stuff. This cat that you listen to, Nathan Angelo, if I don't have everything he's got, I got most of it. He's got quite a few things out there, and you're going to be exposed to some of those, but I'm going to highly, highly encourage you to support Nathan Angelo. And if you want to support me in supporting guys like Nathan and other artists, then you know what you can do? You can send me an Apple iTunes gift card. Yes, you can. Go to the website. Somewhere at the website, I think. Here, let's check this, shall we? As I rattle paper like Rush Limbaugh. Haven't heard Rush Limbaugh in a while. You may not be into Rush Limbaugh. Highly entertaining. I don't care how you feel about the politics, because I don't really care about politics, but he is entertaining. Yeah. Started to say, go to the website, and in the foot of the website, you'll see my mailing address. It's there, P.O. Box. You can send me an Apple iTunes gift card if you care to support the podcast and help me support these artists, because, yes, we do buy the music. We do support artists. I know that's passé, but it's how we roll. Time to get back. Time to get back to that, too. Time to get back to that business model. And it's probably not going to come back. All right. Here's what's on my mind. And it is not reminiscing so much and not being nostalgic, although I think there's good value in that. I think it gives us this warm feeling. And when it's cold, hey, nothing like a good warm feeling. And I'm not opposed to that at all. I would urge you to embrace that. I'm not going to encourage you to live in the past. That's not going to help. Now, it might be advantageous to live in the past if the past was better. I was talking to somebody and they were mentioning some friend of theirs that was trying to quit smoking. I said, well, how long did they smoke? Well, they smoked for nearly 3 decades. And like a pack and a half a day. I mean, and I don't know. I don't even know how many cigarettes are in a pack, but it doesn't sound good. And you think of all the cumulative, okay, maybe it is time to get back to 30 years ago when you weren't smoking. That's just one example. You know, we often say, you know, don't look back. Well, sometimes you may want to look back. Yeah, yesterday might have been better than today because you made some foolish choices along the way. And prior to the foolish choices, hey, life was better. So might be time to get back. But that really isn't the context that I've got so much on my mind. I really have more on my mind fundamentals. I really have more on my mind basics and getting down to the stuff that really matters, because Leaning Toward Wisdom, hey, we are all about it, right? We are about trying to make good choices, wise choices in real time. Always easy to look back and see where we got it wrong and what we should have done. The key is, can we do it in real time? It's hard. It's really, really hard. Because sometimes you just don't know what to do. You're not sure what you ought to do. There have been a few things that I absolutely positively got right in my life. Some things that I was absolutely positively sure about. First and foremost, no, I'm not going to wax religious on you, but faith. One of the first things that I did early in life, in preteen years, was to obey the gospel. The first thing I did was to embrace faith. I was brought up in a church-going, faith-based family who thankfully exposed me, just like I got exposed to Ray Charles, exposed me to the truth of all that. And that was first. And that was a decision that I've never looked back. I've never regretted. I've never altered course. I've just continued to build on that and to build on that and to build on that. Excuse me. And I absolutely come from a place of believing what the scriptures teach, that we are here for God's glory, period. End of statement. I don't always fulfill that as I should, but I'm working on it and I'm always working on it. And don't suspect I'll ever get to where I need to be, but trying. And I don't, that those aren't just empty words. I mean, really giving it the effort. But we have our difficulties and we have our setbacks. So that was the first big decision that I made that I was just rock solid sure about. And throughout time, nothing has changed that. The second one kind of speaks to that song that I mentioned with Ray Charles. The song that I grew up hearing, you know, I Got a Woman. And I guess the second big decision from the time I was 17 up until I was just a few months from turning 21, falling in love with a girl. And I did find a woman and have been married to this woman going on 39 years. Well, coming up in a few weeks, it'll be 39 years. So, okay, time for another song.
I need a woman, but any girl won't do. Said I need a woman, she got to have a clue. A woman who take care of me forever and love me just like mama do. Said I need a woman who can hold me tight.
It's Nathan Angelo again from a 2009 EP, These Old Keys. Yeah, like the keyboard keys. Don't go there. Not that kind of a key. Name of the song is I Need a Woman. It's reminiscent of Ray Charles. This EP is only $4.95 over at iTunes. You should buy it. Every track's good on this EP. I know, because I've got it. And I've also got the woman.
There you go.
I like it. Don't you like it? You gotta like it. I know some of you guys, you tell me, and gals, we fast forward through the music. Yeah, you're missing the best part, the absolute best part. Between the faith thing and the marriage thing came really the beginning of the career thing. So 15, 16 years old, I'm selling hi-fi gear. I'm still in high school. And I've been doing that for a few years. By the time I meet the woman and the girl and we begin dating. And so there, when you think about it, it's time that we get back and you get to be as old as I am and you're looking back with that perspective and you realize these huge decisions that got made when you were crazy young. And it just kind of, I don't know. It kind of seems a little bit scary in retrospect, doesn't it? Big decision to obey God, big decision to make that the focal point of my life. And it still very much is. Big decision to walk into a hi-fi stereo shop and get that job. And wasn't so much a big decision to just fall into that, but you can talk to an awful lot of guys, and I'm not being sexist about this. It's more of a generational thing, but I can talk to an awful lot of guys in my age bracket, and boy, do they have very similar stories to tell when it comes to career. And more often than not, I will hear, yeah, I just fell into it. Now, they mean it the same way I mean it. It's not like you just had this, you know, overwhelming experience of great luck. You took a job and you started doing something and one thing led to another and you really just kind of put one foot in front of the other and you made these decisions all along the way in real time and they led you down this path. To think that there was some big fancy strategy, not so much. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't people like that, but that's not my story. And I meet far more people like me than not, whose story is this, I don't know, it's just like this big Lego thing that you're trying to put together piece by piece, and you're really not sure what it's going to look like. You're not sure how good it's going to look. And mine are probably more like Lincoln Logs. Mine are not nearly as sophisticated. My life isn't nearly as sophisticated as Legos. There's an episode for you. My life, the Lincoln Log aspects of my life, when we live in Legoland. but I like Lincoln Logs, so it's okay. It's okay. And then by 17, I'm dating the girl who would be forever in my life. And there you go. And it's pretty much been downhill ever since. no, not true. Not true. So there's these three aspects of life represented there. There's faith. In the order that they happen chronologically, there's faith, there's the work or career, and then there's family. Now that order got shifted. Only two and three swap places. So it's faith, it's family, and it's work. And that's it for me. So as I'm thinking about this and I'm looking at this title and I'm listening to Nathan sing that Get Back song, that first song that we played, and it's time that we get back to the music that moves us. And I'm thinking about getting back, and it's the end of the year and we're thinking about a new year. And no, this isn't about a resolution. We know those don't take. They sound great. Everybody does them, you know, and all these people produce stuff that's, I don't know. I mean, I've seen all the internet marketing crowd, including Michael Hyatt, and yeah, he's an internet marketer now, producing stuff. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. It's good stuff. It's just interesting to watch it all, to watch all the people that come up with the journals and, make this the best life ever and the best year ever. And yada, yada, yada. And it's another year. It's the way that we count time. We flip the calendar. But magic can happen getting back to things that are profitable and substantial and valuable. And that really is the point. That can happen at any point. I mean, you don't need a new year. You don't need a new day. You don't need a new month. You don't need a new week to do that. You can do that right now. Doesn't matter. You could be listening to this in the middle of January. You could be listening to it in July. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what day of the week. It doesn't matter what time of the day or night it may be. It doesn't matter if it's cold outside or if you're sweating profusely. Sometimes it's time that we get back. It's time that we think about the things that are really important. That's crazy difficult because life gets in the way. One of the things that kind of drives me crazy as far as the professional stuff goes is trying to help people grow, trying to help people transform, trying to help people improve, get better, and to challenge people in a way that doesn't just completely hack them off. And sometimes I do that, and to do it in a way where it sticks, to where it is substantial change. And what I have found through the years is that most often we really don't want that change. We want what it will provide, but we don't want to do the work to get there. And so sometimes, and I think it's one reason that we are so deluged with info stuff. And it's the reason that some of these internet marketers make so much hay during these heydays of the end of a year and new stuff coming out either in late December or early January, and trying to capitalize on this notion, this feeling that we all want of, yeah, I'm going to do it. But I don't know what the stats are. I've heard various people comment about no more than 3%. I don't know if that is statistically accurate or not. Have you heard that number? I hear that number quite a lot. For instance, if you enroll people in some kind of a class, if you're going to teach them how to do something, statistically, I'm told the odds are 3 people are really going to do anything. 3. The other 97, they're going to consume it. They may learn it, but they're never going to do anything with it. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm not going to argue with it. Whatever that number is, I know this, it's a low number. I know that the majority of people aren't going to do the work. They want somebody to talk to. They want somebody to listen to them. They want somebody to make them feel good. But at the end of the day, they really don't want to do anything. They would like to dream about what it would be like on the other side. But that slog of getting from here to there, I don't think so. A little too hard. A little too difficult. I think it's time we get back to just the stinking hard work. I was reading another Night of Insomnia, and I stumbled across an article about the coaches that Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots. I mean, the guy's a machine. The guy is completely obsessed with football. You know, the article claimed that, okay, Bill's not a 24/7 guy with football. He's a 22/7. He sleeps 2 hours and the rest of the time it's all football all the time. That's probably true. But they were talking about the coaches that come in, the lowest level coaches that he hires, and the lengths that he goes to hire these people. That intense. I think one of the guys who is like a defensive coordinator or something for him, the guy had an engineering background. The guy said engineering interviews are not anywhere close to being as rigorous as the interview that this guy puts people through. It's hours and hours and hours of breaking down game film. It's hours and hours of breaking down offenses or defenses, depending on what kind of a coach you are, spending hours and hours with other coaches. And part of it is just to see how long are you going to hold up? Are you going to hold up under the rigor of these hours and hours and hours of meetings? And how enthused are you going to be at literally the 11th hour as you were in hour one or two? And to just see if you've got the sustaining power. And the article, they called it the 2020. It's you're in the 2020 zone of coaching. You work 20 hours a day for 20 grand a year. And one of the guys said, well, I didn't make that much. I made 15 grand the first year, this defensive coordinator. I made 15 grand the first year. And Belichick is working the same hours. It's not like he's pawning all this stuff off. I mean, he's right there. He's right now. He's making $7 million a year, but he's right there. But even Belichick in the article talked about the value of that work early on. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating that you work 20 hours a day. And I know other people do. And I know a lot of people are out there and they're completely gaming the whole hustle thing. Hustle, hustle, hustle. And man, we look at hustle like a badge of honor. That the more time you work and the more time that you're away from family and friends and anything else, good for you. Good for you. No, I'm going to call it what it is. You're stupid. You're just absolutely stupid. You're foolish. You're moronic. It's ridiculous. Why would I spend, I love you. I'm glad you're listening, but I've gone on record and said, my tribe consists of 10 people, 10 people, my wife, my two kids, their spouses, and the five grandkids. There's my tribe. Sorry, but you come in considerably behind them. So I know there are people that, you know, it's all about, you know, just push it all in and just, you know, give it everything you've got and chase, 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 chase. And I would say that, okay, if people want to make that choice, it's their choice to make. And that's absolutely true. However, it's a completely colossally foolish choice. Stupid, stupid choice. Just this week, we have experienced death again. So Alan Thicke, 69 years old, he's playing hockey with his 19-year-old son and drops dead of a heart attack. Okay, well, you could say, well, there's a lot of things that he could have been doing when he had the heart attack. That's not a bad way to go. Come on, you got to admit it. You're playing hockey with your son. Not a bad way to go. But there are people that, oh, they would much rather, you know, drop dead in front of a client or doing business. I look at these three areas of my life, and you can look at your own three areas or more, but faith and family and career. And the first one trumps everything. But, you know, the good thing about my faith, if I'm what I ought to be there, I'm going to be what I ought to be at home and with the family. And I'm what I ought to be, at least responsibility-wise, even on the third one. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to be successful. Oh, I know. Joel Osteen, these other cats are come to Jesus and it'll all be great and wonderful. So I'm following someone who the scripture says had nowhere to lay his head. Foxes, they got their place. The Son of God does not. But yet I'm promised wealth. I don't think so. I don't know what Bible Joel Osteen, well, I don't know if Joel Osteen's reading a Bible, but hey, that's a story for another day. But for me, it's all congruent, you know? It's just all congruent. It all just kind of blends in together to become the totality of who I am, who I need to be, who I want to be. Do you feel that way? I hope you feel that way. I mean, I hope that you're not living a life where, okay, you don one hat and one mask and you go do this thing that you do at work and then you don another one. No, you know, surely you don't do that. Tell me you don't do it. Well, you're not listening to me if you do that. Nobody that would do that would even care to listen to a podcast called Leaning Toward Wisdom. But this is how it rolls. And hopefully this is how it rolls. And even though Alan Thicke, he died at 69. Hey, I don't know what kind of time I've got. I don't know what kind of time you've got, but hey, till we're old, we just do the best we can, right?
There's a fire deep inside, and it's hot like a furnace. That look in your eyes is the spark that keeps burning it up.
Record. No, it's not. It's a 2013 record. I'm sorry. It would help if I could read. 2013. Out of the Blue is the name of the record. $9.99 over to iTunes. Till I'm 99.
Nathan Angelo, Out of the Blue is the record, $9.99 over to iTunes. Name of the song is Till I'm 99. You want to know what's on the flat panel in the Yellow Studio right now as I'm hitting the record button? Green Acres. Green Acres. I was listening to talk radio the other day. We do have a great talk radio station here in Dallas. Probably got a few, but we've really got one that's pretty terrific. The Ticket. It was the original Ticket. that was started back in 1989. Yeah, back in 89 when Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys, they went on the air. It was the first sports talk station in Dallas, Texas. Can you believe that? I mean, yeah, you'd have thought somebody would have done that before then, but, and it really wasn't sports talk. It wasn't like what you think, and it's not like what you think. It's really more guy talk, and it's funny how many women are attracted to this station, but it's pretty funny. And they were talking about TV shows that you watched, and of course, some of the guys on this particular show, they were different ages, and so and they, what got it going was the death of Alan Thicke. And what was the show? Growing Pains? Was that the show? I remember seeing it, but it wasn't in the wheelhouse for me as a kid because, well, I'm older than that. So we got to thinking about it and told my wife, you know, I remember coming home and, I mean, it was the Andy Griffith Show. It was McKell's Navy. It was F Troop. It was Green Acres. Those were the Gilligan's Island. Those were the TV shows of my, you know, being a kid. And I tell you, Green Acres, it holds up, kids. It holds up. I chuckle every time an episode comes on. You know, Mr. Haney is just as classic. Ebb, absolutely just pretty stinking priceless. I think it's time to get back. I think it's time to get back to some of that stuff. It's funny. I'm telling you, it's funny. Transformation is really at the heart of this. And when I say to get back again, to me is the foundational stuff, provided that we had the foundation. Thankfully, I do. And most of you probably do. I'm not saying everything was great and wonderful and rosy. We've all got stuff and baggage. But over time, we collect so much more of that. I mean, anybody that wants to look back and blame family, if you live long enough, you're going to pile on as much or more baggage than anybody ever gave you. We're going to pack our own bags. And I think sometimes, and now's as good a time as any, it's just time to say enough's enough. I'm sick and tired of this, and I'm ready to make a change. I'm ready to make an improvement. Do you often find yourself engaged in arguments, if not debates, about people's capacity? That seems to come up for me fairly common. And I'll regularly hear somebody say, and sometimes I even may say it myself, you know, I mean, well, we are what we are. The implication of that, though, is something that I inherently do not believe. And that is that we are what we are, and A, we can't do anything about it, and B, it's just as good as it's going to get because we are what we are, right? We can't be any better. We can't. You're listening to a guy who also has a podcast called Grow Great at growgreat.com. I couldn't engage in that podcast if I believed that that were true. If I believe that you are what you are, you're never going to be anything better than what you are. So just resign yourself to this is how it is and this is how it's always going to be. I just positively, absolutely do not believe that. And no matter how old I get, even if I do live to be 99, and boy, I pray I don't. No, I don't want to live to be 99. Sorry. I hope I never feel that way about myself. I can tell you this, and I don't even specifically know who you are, because there's a number of you out there. Not a whole lot of you, but there are a number of you out there, and I would hope that no matter how old you are, no matter the circumstances of your life, there's upside. There's still upside to be had. Now, some of the upside that I've got is a little different upside than maybe what it once was. Yeah, there might have been the upside of me as a kid who was trying to make the team. Okay, well, that upside's gone. not as fast or as nimble as I once was, but boy, the upside that I did not have then that I have now is no comparison. Cause who cares about making the team? You know, when you're a kid, you care about that. But when you get to be an adult, there's bigger fish to fry. Doing the work. The real genesis of today's show stemmed from, I don't know, it wasn't so much an epiphany. It's something that I've long known. It can just be frustrating at times when you're really trying to help people. And one of the problems that I've got, I freely admit this, one of the problems that I've got is I realize that I can spend time with people and they can feel good. They can feel good about it, but then I can leave and I just know too many times nothing changes. And that drives me out of my mind. Because as much as I want people to feel good and as much as I want to feel good, what I really want more than that is I want people to make a change. Change being synonymous with an improvement, with growth. I think it's time we get back to that. I look at that Bill Belichick story and you realize, okay, you've got some first-time coaches. They're learning some habits. And we can all say, well, Belichick's he's crazed, man. He's obsessed. And he is. He's all of those things. But the guy works. He's putting in the work. Now, anybody could argue, including me, is it really smart to spend 22 hours a day, every day, on football? He made the choice. It's his life. I'm not going to throw rocks at him. It's not how I'm choosing to do things. It may or may not be how you're choosing to do things. I do think that it's time to get back to the things that are really important. That it clearly is important to him. If it weren't, he wouldn't do it. The things that are important to me, I've already identified. I've identified them and I put them in three buckets. And that's it. That's it. That's the totality of it for me. Well, okay, we could throw podcasting in there some form or fashion. I love the medium. I love the vehicle. Been doing it for a long, long time. I like the community. It's kind of sort of work. It's kind of sort of hobby. It's kind of sort of passion. I don't know. It is what it is. But my life is really enveloped in these three buckets that I've mentioned. What are yours? And what can you do in each one of those areas of your life to get back to work, to get back to working it and making it better? Not wishing for it, not looking at the outcome and thinking, boy, wouldn't it be great if, but actually putting in the work. What if I put in the work to increase my faith and to practice my faith more diligently? What if I put in the work and the effort to be better for my family? What if I put in the work and the effort to be better at my work, at my career? This isn't terribly complex stuff, but it's hard. It's really hard.
Lakes plunging through the air, and we can't believe in South Carolina. Hoping our eyes don't deceive, a day without care, nothing is finer. Drops falling from the sky, plans go to waste, it's ruining our picnic. Oh, but fun is more than sunny days, it can't be dirt in my eyes, the rain was the ticket.
But these moments feeling far between, and these pictures keep deep down inside of me, inside of me. Of eternity, the snapshots that call it all lies. Just sing out the song, and you'll be back on the road.
This is a 2006 record Through Playing Me. $9.99 at iTunes. Name of the song is The Road Home.
She's walking beside me. Oh, but I get lost inside her gaze. But in her eyes I am found. Such perfect timing, yeah. But these moments feeling far between, and these pictures keep deep down inside of me, inside of me. So hold tight to fading memories, glimpses of eternity.
Nathan Angelo, 2006 record, Through Playing Me. Name of the song, The Road Home. This is a time of year when, well, we hear songs like, you know, I'll Be Home for Christmas, or Please Come Home for Christmas. It's a time when families have off work and whatever, you know, whatever you do during this time of year, it is certain to involve family and it is certain to involve home. And I think that's also on my mind. It's time that we get back to home. It's time we get back to these relationships and these things in our life that really do matter the most. I told you, I think, in the last episode about an attorney here who was found dead. His 18-year-old daughter, it turns out she was 16. His 16-year-old daughter had committed suicide just some days before. And the family said he was just crushed. He was absolutely crushed. And they said they felt like quite literally he died of a broken heart. And he had a big thriving personal injury practice, a lot of associates, a number of offices in a number of cities around the country. And does any of that matter? Well, it mattered at the time, and I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but in the grand scheme of things, not so much. Alan Thick, yeah, not so much. And we've often been asked to ponder, either by a preacher or some self-help person, to ponder the last day of our life and what is it that you want to do. it's a worthwhile exercise. Don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, next Tuesday happens, and life happens, and gets in the way. And that is the difficulty in us making these changes and improvement. That is the difficulty in us doing the work. Unlike the coach that goes to work for Bill Belichick and is required to be there and is held so stinking accountable that there's just, they can't possibly slip. I mean, you've got to keep up and you've got to keep on keeping up to make the cut. Most of us are not living in circumstances like that. We can slip and we can slip and we can keep slipping. And unless we completely derail or unless we get involved in some unethical, illegal, or immoral behavior, we might get by for a long, long time. Now, in this part of the country, you know, you got Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, and it's a sad, sad story to me, and who knows what all the truth is, but hey, there's enough smoke, there's bound to be some fire. You've got a young man who's just completely unhooked, untethered. There's not accountability, and that's the point. The accountability that we need to do what we need to do, it needs other people. I just don't know any other way around it. Self-accountability is great and wonderful, and you ought to have it, and you ought to work on it. But at the end of the day, I don't know that we can trust ourselves. Can we? I don't think we can trust ourselves enough that we are going to be solely responsible for everything. Now, I realize that there's a ton of people out in the internet who are terribly popular, and we look at them and we think, man, they got it all together, and they talk about self-discipline, and they talk about all the positives that exist in their life. And let's assume that they're completely true. I doubt it, but let's assume it. There are people in their life. Trust me when I tell you, there are people in their life who are helping hold them accountable. Now, they may not be talking about it, but it's just a fact of life. I'm involved enough in the whole peer advisory kind of thing. In fact, I'm helping. I'll hawk it right here. There's an author by the name of Leo Battari, Bottary. Leo. I reached out to Leo and I'm like, dude, you're on podcasts. You need to have a show of your own. One thing led to another. And so I'm helping Leo launch a new podcast called Year of the Peer. Leo co-wrote a book this year entitled The Power of Peers. And the whole book is about the power of who you surround yourself with. In fact, I think that the subtitle of the book is Who You Surround Yourself With Matters. And boy, does it ever. Hey, this is why I'm surrounding myself with people like you. Because who we surround ourselves with does matter. And I think us being accountable and us making improvements and us, you know, it's time that we get back to the things that really, really matter. And it's time that we get back to work if we haven't been working as hard to make improvement. I'm not talking about hustling for your business and hustling for a buck, but I'm talking about putting in the work to be better, putting in the work toward wisdom, to exercise wisdom. We all want the result of it. We all want the outcome. We don't want to go through the drudgery of it. We don't want to go through the process of it. And I think the big thing, the first and foremost thing, is we just got to make up our mind.
Tell me you don't want me. Tell me you don't care. Tell me that thought of me means nothing. This ain't going anywhere. Tell me that you need me and you'll be there. Is one way or another, baby. Make up your mind. It's not the time that you're wasting. It's the love in my heart that you're breaking. Tell me how you can't act so jaded with our history. You should be persuaded. Tell me you don't want me.
2011. Nathan Angelo. Name of the record is Follow Your Heart. Name of the song is Make Up Your Mind. I think that's what we need to do. Yeah, the people you surround yourself with matters, but first and foremost, you got to make up your mind that you want to do whatever it is. You want to make whatever improvement. You want to make whatever growth, and that you're going to pay the price to do it, that you're actually going to do the work. Where the peers come in to help, the family, people that we surround ourselves with, these are the people that can hold us accountable and call us out and say, you said you wanted to do it, but I'm not seeing it. Why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you doing it? Yeah, sometimes because we haven't really made up our mind.
That the thought of me means nothing. This ain't going anywhere. Tell me that you need me, and you'll be there. It's one way or another, baby. Make up, break up. Tell me you don't want me. No, 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 no. Tell me that the thought of me means nothing. This ain't going anywhere. Tell me that you need me, and you'll be there.
I think life is energy. I've said that many times before. And of course it is. I mean, it's physical energy, but it's more than that. It's this psychic energy. It's this mental limit strength. It's this energy. It's this, I don't know. You do things that drain you and you do other things that energize you. We all do. Right now, think of something that energy just leaves your body. You just feel it drain. It may be a particular caller ID. Why are you laughing? Why are you giggling? Because you know that's true. There are some people that are in your contacts list that when their number pops up on your phone, you just lose the will to live. That's a powerful thing. I mean, these are people who have a great amount of power in your life. You've given them that power, but they have it. Now, just as quickly, let's flip it. You see the caller ID, and you can't wait to hit answer. It's just like this sudden shot of fuel in your life. Happens, right? Sure it does. I'm betting that there's probably more of the former than the latter. I'm betting that you got more people that probably drain. And why is that? Maybe it's time we get back to culling the herd of these people that suck the life out of us. And now, for me, how can we hold up the mirror and how can we think about ourselves and how can we think, okay, how do we impact other people? Do we give people energy or do we drain energy from people? I pride myself. And in fact, I fairly commonly will tell people if I'm making an appointment to see a CEO, maybe we've never met before, but we've exchanged some emails or whatnot. And the admin will invariably say, you know, well, what is this regarding? I'm like, yeah, well, you know, he and I, we've been exchanging some emails back and forth. And, he told me to reach out and just make an appointment and they'll probe. And, you know, sometimes it's hard because I don't know what to tell them, Well, I'm going to become seeing him about some coaching possibilities, you know, and I never do say that, by the way. But I will occasionally say, here's, you don't really need to tell him anything because he knows I'm calling and making some time, and just tell him when I leave, he's going to have more energy than when I got there. And I will say it. And I think more often than not, I deliver on it. But that feeling good is great and wonderful, but it still doesn't get the work done. In fact, sometimes it gets in the way of work. I'm not saying that we want to be the person on the caller ID that our friends and neighbors and family, oh my, oh no, it's Randy calling again. But on the flip side, some of those people, and I want you to look at this and I want you to think about this. Some of those people that you look at the caller ID and you're really, oh, can't wait to talk to them. Why? Why? What's going on there? And I'm not saying that there's not something legitimate. In fact, I'm arguing there is something very legitimate about it. But it's possible for us to surround ourselves with people that make us feel good at the time. But are we left better? Now, I'm not talking about trimming people out of your life. So don't misunderstand. Yeah, I'm absolutely going to tell you, get rid of the toxic people, the people that just completely drain you. Yeah. People that it's all one-sided and you're all give and they're all take. Now, come on, just be done with that already. Time we get back. Time we get back our life. But let's look at the other people. Let's look at the people that we feel good when we're around these people. These people give us energy, and that's a great thing. Here's where that can go south on us. We can sometimes be surrounded with people that we feel good about when we're with them. We feel good when we're in their presence. We feel good when we're reading them, when we're listening to them. But then when it's all over, when the podcast episode has ended, when the book has ended, when the video course is over, when the PDF is done, when the Audible book has finished, then what? That's my point. Sometimes in the moment, energizing people inadvertently have a negative impact on us because we feel, and we're always looking then for that endorphin. Instead of grinding it out and doing what we need to do to work on ourselves. Listen, I hope to be some great resource for you. I really do. I hope that I'm encouraging you. I hope I'm compelling you. But more importantly, I hope that I'm helping you affect change. I hope I'm helping you lean toward wisdom. Just listening to it doesn't get it done. It just doesn't. It's great. It's wonderful. It's valuable. I probably get way more out of this than you do. No, I do get way more out of this than you do. But when the recording is completed, when you've finished listening to it, when I have finished doing it, then what? Then what? Well, it's time we get back to work then. It's time that we implement some of these things. You know why this whole shiny object syndrome is so popular and is so wildly talked about? Because it's real. It's very, very real. Because we are enamored with that one thing. We need that other one thing. You know what we're doing? We're replacing work with all of this stuff. We're replacing work with all of these things, with all of these solutions, with all of these tactics, with all of these strategies, when it really is what Bill Belichick has found out in hiring first these coaches for the first time, at least in the New England Patriots system. It's 20 hours a day for 20K. It's grinding it out. It's how into it are you at hour 20 compared to hour one? And how anxious are you to just, I can't wait to get up and do it again? Now, is every day going to be that way? No, but we've still got to figure out a way to find the motivation. And I long ago learned the true meaning of motivation is the energy that you bring to get the job done. Motivation isn't something that I'm going to give you. It's not something Zig Ziglar could give you. It's not something Jim Rohn could give you. That's inspiration. Inspiration's great and wonderful. Problem with inspiration is next Tuesday happens and it kicks inspiration's butt. And all of a sudden, inspiration has left the building. Motivation is what you get up with every morning. It's the energy that you have to do the work. You got to do the work. If you don't do the work, well, the days ahead, they're not going to be bright.
Where do you go when you're feeling tired, torn apart by all the wear? Places you know you can keep it secret, never have to share. Oh, the time is a wasting, but I know you can face this. Keep on striving, love is gonna find a way. Yeah, and know that tomorrow is gonna be a brighter day. Tell me the truth, do you wake at night paralyzed by all your cares? Well, it's not just you, the same goes for all of us. It's the condition that we share. Oh, the time is a wasting, but I know that together we can face this. Yeah, so just keep on. Just keep on striving. Love is gonna find a way. And know that tomorrow is gonna be brighter. Oh, it's gonna be brighter today. Yeah.
2009, Nathan Angelo, an EP, These Old Keys. Brighter Day, $4.95 at I-10. Can you not like this guy? Nathan Angelo, Brighter Day. And there it is. There's the optimism that has to exist in your life. You've got to believe that you can be better. You've got to believe that wisdom is possible. It is. I'm flattered. I'm honored to be part of your tribe, however far out in the outer circle of your tribe I may be. But you do know I can't do this for you. And nobody else can do it for you either. And as great as the Michael Hyatts and the Gary Vaynerchuks and the Chris Brogans and all the other gurus may be, they can't do it for you either. And they don't have it all figured out. They want you to think they do, but they don't. They don't have it all figured out. None of us have it all figured out. You know, pick your poison. Pick who you're going to listen to. Pick some people that you feel like are serving you. But I think it's time that we get back to narrowing our focus. Don't you? I think it's time that we get back to taking control of our own life. Stop letting all these outside influences impact what you really most want to do. I talk to people all the time who are wannabe entrepreneurs because they've been sold a bill of goods. They have bought into the fact that if you're not that, well, how stupid are you? Well, that's ludicrous. That's completely ludicrous. It's not for everybody. Absolutely not for everybody. Carol Roth, what was her book? I need to recommend this. And I should recommend this book more. Live podcasting. Don't you love it, kids? It's great. It's wonderful. Carol Roth wrote a book entitled The Entrepreneur Equation. Now, Ms. Roth, she's a radio, TV kind of person, but this book is absolutely, positively, highly, 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 highly recommended, especially for those people who just think, well, entrepreneurship is the end all be all. She will argue that it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody, and that's okay. The Entrepreneur Equation. I don't know. That book was written. Hang on, I'll tell you. That book was written in 2010. Doesn't matter. Buy it anyway. Read it. Go to the library. Find it. And read it if you're hung on that treadmill of thinking, well, I need to be an entrepreneur. Maybe. Maybe not. Hey, all of that to say this. It's your life, and you got to do what you got to do. I'm encouraging you to make sure that the what you got to do is improvement, is growth, is wisdom, is making better choices. But again, let's go back. Think about these three buckets that I named. Now, I don't know what yours are. I told you what mine were. You think about yours and spend some time and figure this stuff out. Figure out what has worked, what is working, and figure out what's not working. And I've jokingly said, but it's absolutely true. Stop doing the stuff that ain't working and do more of what is working. And the stuff that might would work for me may not work for you. And that's why this is hard. And that's why there's no need to go spending stupid money buying somebody's product who's promising you a bill of goods when 100 people that are going to buy it, 3 are going to do something with it or have any success at it, and 97% are, it's just wasted money. It's wasted money. Stop it. Stop it. Don't let that be you. Think about the people in your life that matter the most, and how can you improve yourself to best serve them? My tribe of 10, if I can be a better man, if I can be a better person, and I can do a better job of serving God, there's the faith, and serving my family, these 10 people, hey, what else matters, really? I mean, whatever I do for a living, does it really matter? How much money I make, supposing that I can supply what my family needs, I can take care of my family, and that doesn't mean that I can buy them all brand new foreign exotic cars, but so we can survive. What's wrong with that? A lot of people out there doing some really honorable work that might not be glamorous and glorious, and people can say, oh, well, but you know, I want to impact, I want to change the world. I want to impact thousands, millions of people. That's great. I don't. I want to serve a few people, and I just want to make sure that I'm serving them really, really, really well. And I do think it gets down to, in large part, following your heart.
You say I'm done. I'm giving in. My bags have all been packed. I've lost my will to win. Should I move on? Or should I stay right here? Because it's hard to find your way when nothing's ever clear. When you look at your life and where you've been, you wonder why you did what you did. You won't think twice, you just live by what's inside. Follow your heart, it'll never lead the wrong way. Cause when you're falling apart, you know you're in the right place. When the going gets tough and you're thinking it's enough to turn and walk away, follow your heart, you won't ever be the same. Say I'll try.
Nathan Angelo, 2011, $9.99 at iTunes. The name of the record is Follow Your Heart. That's the title track. Your heart can deceive you. I'm hoping yours won't, so keep it in check. Chase wisdom. Lean hard toward it. My name is Randy Cantrell, coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Want to support the podcast? Apple iTunes gift cards, kids. Mailing address is in the footer of the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. I'm glad that you have spent almost an hour and a half with me. I greatly appreciate it. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio.
Don't think twice if you just live by what's inside. Follow your heart.
I may try to squeeze in one more episode before the end of the year, but we'll see how it goes. But I'm glad that you came today, and I hope that you got some benefit from it. Find other episodes if this was your first foray into the podcast. Hey, go back. Give them a listen. See what you think. Hopefully they provoke you to think, but really more importantly, I hope it provokes you to act. That really was the message today. Take some action, take some meaningful action and get better. I'm going to play a track that I think is in keeping with that, again, from Nathan Angelo. This is from his EP called Carolina, $4.99. This was a more recent record in 2015, Carolina, the EP. The name of the track is Find My Way. And there's my last bit of encouragement in today's episode. Find your way. Figure it out It's going to take work, but you can do this work. What you probably need to do is kind of shut down the distractions and the people that are telling you, hey, over here, over here, over here. Here's the easy button. Here's the easy button. No, there is no easy button. It's the 20-20 deal. It's 20 hours a day for 20K. I mean, there's nothing glamorous about doing the work. So don't let people fool you into thinking that it is. Here's what is glamorous. Looking back, knowing that you did it. Looking back and seeing where you were and seeing that today you're a better version of who you used to be. Find my way. Nathan Angelo. Enjoy.